AdNews Innovation 6 podcasts are a series of interviews in which we ask thought leaders and innovators at the forefront of the marketing and communication industries 6 key questions. In this series, we examine the impact of Internet Protocol TV in Australia and explore how this technology will provide a range of new digital marketing opportunities to target consumers like never before.
Welcome to AdNews Innovation 6 Podcasts. I'm Peter Stevenson from On Communications, and today we're talking with Tara Warpert, Executive Vice President and General Manager of Visible World, a leading addressable advertising solutions company based in New York. G'day Tara, welcome to 6 Questions.
Thank you, Peter. I'm happy to be here.
We're here today to talk about addressable advertising, and we really want to get your perspective on how the industry is developing in the US. Perhaps for context, as probably up front would be great if you can give us a general overview of just how Visible World's addressable advertising technology works.
Sure. What we do is we use digital set-top box technology to send customized commercials to each individual household. So we have a unique system that allows us to do this in live broadcast TV. We don't rely on excessive bandwidth or PDVRs. What we do is we tune or switch the stream to our unique content during a commercial break. And then what happens is the content of the commercial that's coming down to each set-top box is actually edited on the fly based on a series of information or a profile that is essentially preloaded onto each box, so that the spot is customized and therefore the message is customized for each household depending on what is going to be most relevant and most engaging to them.
Are you sort of taking over the commercial breaks in a sense, aren't you?
In a sense, but they're excited about it because we partner with them to do this. We actually can't do it without their permission. And we've particularly crafted our business model to fit in with and not be competitive to the model they have today. So they still sell the inventory in the same way that they ordinarily would, although now they can command an additional premium because the spot is more valuable, because it can be customized and targeted in this way. We then work with them and with the advertiser to help build the content in a way that takes advantage of this, but we're not really competing with them.
It's great because what you're helping them do is increase their revenue, and you're providing advertisers with a new customized solution.
That's exactly right.
What kind of specific opportunities, just how customized can this message be?
The message can be incredibly customized. We have clients who have campaigns they're planning now that literally have hundreds of versions. And typically the way they customize their message is in one of two ways. Either they'll do something relatively similar to what they do today in direct mail or in online, where they'll take advantage of the data that is out there from trusted third-party providers, and that's typically demographic data or lifestyle data or purchase pattern data, and they'll use that information to make estimates about what's likely to be most relevant or most engaging to that household. The other thing that they can do is they can actually overlay their own customer database onto that information. And in that case, they then also know, is this household a customer? Is it a prospect? What has their history with the company been? And from there, they can determine how to upsell or cross-sell a household. They could welcome a new customer. They could try to woo an old customer back. Or they could think about how to win a new prospect.
The picture you're painting here is that this is a bit of a hybrid medium, and I mean, you're bringing together disciplines such as direct, online, traditional advertising all together through this technology.
That's exactly how we think about it. Essentially, the targeting and customization and dynamicism of other media with the mass reach of TV.
And it sounds like every client, there's no one-size-fits-all solution here. It sounds like it's customized by yourselves and the agencies and the networks for each client's requirements.
That's right. We do, and it depends which media partner we're working with, we do offer some standard solution sets because it's a lot for a client to take in to know they can do anything and everything. So we do have a list of, for example, the most 30 common criteria by which advertisers typically customize their messages, and advertisers can take advantage of that. However, we do have the flexibility to enable clients to customize however and as deeply as they like.
Okay, so it sounds like there's a way for people to put a toe in the water.
Exactly.
Case studies. Now, I know no one ever wants to give out results, but can you give us some proof behind increased return on investment that this approach might deliver over traditional TV advertising? I imagine that's what it's all about.
We are. It's certainly the million-dollar question, and if I could do it definitively, I wouldn't be working at Visible World. I'd be off on an island somewhere. What I will say is, look, as you said, most of our clients prefer to keep their results proprietary, and addressable advertising down to the household is really just taking off in the U.S., so we're still doing a lot of directional learning. However, our targeting services have been used at the zip code level or zone-based level since 2003, and I will give you an example of what we saw there, which you would imagine would be only greater if you're able to target down to the household. We had a direct response advertiser that would typically offer a low price, medium price, and high price item in all of its commercials. But what they found was they could never upsell anyone beyond the low priced item because it had to look good, otherwise it reflected poorly on the brand. So what they did with us is they actually versioned the commercial so that customer segments based on income or disposable spending levels or other segmentation that were more likely to buy low priced items saw commercials that had three items that were low-priced, more affluent or more predisposed to spending customer areas got commercials that had all high-priced items. And what they found was that the campaigns typically doubled their impact. They saw a 90% increase in response rates and a 10% increase in average order size. And that is typical. Our usage by customers, our repeat usage, is over 90%.
I know this is a hard question to answer. What kind of premium do people pay to use addressable advertising?
Really depends, and it depends on, I know that's not the answer you're looking for, but this does work similar to how media negotiations take place anywhere else in the system, which is a lot of it is still negotiated company by company and in the context of a much broader buy, so it's hard to pull that out. It also depends on the degree of addressability. So if you think about going down to a neighborhood or to a zip code or to an actual household, the more targeted you get, the more expensive it gets. The models are still shaking out, but I think that somewhere between a 50% and a 150% premium on the CPM at the household level is what a lot of people in the market are expecting.
Okay, but they should be getting that return, as you say.
Exactly.
Now, talk to us about the kind of clients and categories that it seems to be retail sectors favoring addressable advertising.
Retail, I think, is a natural for addressable advertising because of the degree to which their businesses are local around a trading area and because they have so much customer data that they're used to thinking about even their video advertising in a more data-oriented way. That being said, there are a number of other categories that I think are right behind them and quickly catching up, which may even surpass them in taking advantage of addressable targeting. And I'd say the ones that pop to mind are automotive, financial services, telecom, a number of categories that have higher revenue and higher margin products. When you think about the increase in return they get from more targeted advertising, it's going to be disproportionately higher and therefore easier for them to invest in what is a more expensive media.
I mean, a lot of people in both the client and the agency side sometimes can be conservative with new technologies and new opportunities. What are the insights? Are you seeing people that are quite open to jumping on and embracing this new opportunity?
Trend has been turning. It reached a turning point in the last 12 months and even in the last 6 months, where historically very conservative agencies and clients are starting to show a very active interest. I think as they realize that this digital media revolution is both inevitable and an enormous opportunity for them, and they're also starting to realize that it's going to take them a while to learn how to capture that opportunity, so they need to start now. You mentioned dipping the toe in earlier, and I would say one of our biggest learnings is that we do now encourage clients and agencies to crawl, walk, run so that they can essentially dip their toe in without feeling like they're committing massive resources or budget. And what we find is once they do that, and in particular once they see the benefits to their business from doing that, scaling them up is much more easy than trying to sell a big approach right from the start.
Makes a lot of sense. Where do you see, currently our understanding is that Visible World technologies are available through cable networks. Are you guys looking at rolling into IPTV platforms in the future?
Absolutely. One of the main benefits of our system is that it works anywhere video lives. So it's broadcast and cable TV, it's video on demand, it's broadband, it will be IPTV, you name it, and we're going to be there. We believe that advertisers really want one centralized tool from which they can actively customize and manage their messages across platforms. So we're very excited to continue to grow with our cable partners, but we're actively talking to all of the major IPTV providers and looking forward to deployment with them as well.
Just a side question, Tara. It's interesting because you're talking about the way your system works and it's automated to some degree. And am I right in saying that people provide you, creative elements and they provide you a range of offers and then work with you basically to plan out a program and you automate the production of that and then feed it out through to the networks? Is that how it works?
That's exactly right. So we think of two benefits to our system, which is almost entirely automated, as you say. The first is on the production side, which is we automate the creation of hundreds or thousands of versions by mixing and matching the different pieces of audio, video, text, graphics, whatever the creative involves. The second part of it is we have an intelligent distribution network that basically tells the digital assets how to compile themselves based on where they're airing, when they're airing, and to whom they're airing.
Whilst it sounds fun, it also sounds like there's a lot involved in it, but I think it would be worth it because you get a much more targeted, relevant message at the end of the
day. Exactly. And what I think a lot of folks who are not involved in the business day-to-day don't necessarily appreciate is how much is involved in versioning, trafficking, distribution of spots today, even without our technology. So typically what this involves is a little bit more effort up front in the planning process, but actually makes the execution on the back end much, much easier, in addition to, as you point out, getting much more bang for your buck in terms of the upside from the media.
I think of a number of campaigns I've done over the years which are for major clients. You're right, you do a lot of targeting, a lot of work behind the scenes. I think what you guys probably bring to it is the automation that makes it a lot easier.
That's exactly right.
Now, hey, tell us about Australia. Are you heading down this way? Are you guys going to be actually looking at this market in the future?
Well, as I said, we want to be anywhere that video lives, and Australia is obviously a very attractive market for video. And we are definitely looking closely at it. And if it requires me to take a few trips to Sydney this winter, well, it's the sacrifices you have to make for business.
I think if you give it about 6 months, come down here in summertime and have a cocktail with us, you'll enjoy it. There's some great restaurants on the harbour.
I look forward to that.
I know it's really hard to sort of look at the future because it's just so many things changing so quickly, but where will it go? Will it just get much more precise? Is this addressable advertising technology?
I think that the technology will get more precise, or at least it will be available in the precision that it's available in certain places today on a national scale, and that's terrific. I think many of the refinements that are going to come in the next months and years are actually going to be in some of the business or workflow areas, perhaps not the technology. There's still a ton to be worked out in terms of data and pricing and research and operations that's necessary to really break this market wide open. That being said, while the technology, candidly, I think is a little bit ahead of companies' ability to take advantage of it, I do think we'll continue to see innovation, and two of the biggest areas that pop to mind are, I think we'll start to see interactive layered in more consistently. So you'll see consumer requests for information or tunneling to long-form content that's tied specifically to addressable advertising and can help you to measure how that's performing. And I think we'll also see a lot of increases in the sophistication of the reporting and feedback that's available to advertisers, which will make the question you asked me earlier about ROI much easier to answer and therefore I think also fuel the market.
What's really interesting too, we're seeing down here that a lot of marketing departments and marketing directors are understanding it's changing, it's a new game, and they're looking at restructuring their departments, just to pick up on a point you mentioned. And I think what's going to happen with this kind of stuff, you really need to be able to work it and understand that it is a real-time live campaign that should be tweaked and should be respected and something that needs a lot of, it needs to be worked through to get the best results rather than set and forget.
It's a great point, and we're starting to see some of that here, too. If you think about what you would need to do to take advantage of this capability, you're right. There are two areas that come to mind. One is if you think about targeting across brands within one company. So if you think about Procter & Gamble and the range of products they have, being able to send the Pampers ad to a home with new children while they're sending Tide to an older couple that has no need for that, that's a huge deal. It's not the way they do business today. The other piece of it is functional, which is, as you said earlier, our technology basically brings direct marketing capabilities to television. Today, those functional areas are typically largely separate in an organization, and there's a lot that I think they can respectively learn from each other.
Well, Tara, it's been amazing. I think you've made a lot of people from down under sit up and take notice today. It's a really exciting future. We want to say thanks for your time. And how's life in the Big Apple in summer?
Very good. Very warm and pretty busy. We welcome any visitors. And thank you, Peter. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Okay. And listen, if you do head down this way, we owe you a cocktail on the harbour.
I look forward to it.
Thanks, Tara. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, we're after feedback on the podcast that you've been downloading by the thousands in recent weeks. We'd love to hear your comments, and we're open to the good, the bad, and even the ugly. We're happy to respond to questions for additional information that you might want on any of the areas that we've covered. And also, if you've got suggestions for future podcast topics, simply contact us. Drop us an email at our website, oncom.com.au.
This AdNews Innovation 6 podcast is an initiative from Advertising News, On Communications and Stellar Sound. AdNews is Australia's top-selling advertising, marketing and media magazine.